I'll confess that it really saddens me that the phrase born again has taken on such political connotations. No longer is it heard, in America at least, as a simple statement of faith, as it is still in some other countries. No, now it takes in a whole raft of politics with which I may or may not agree. So much so that many of us who would be comfortable with the idea of being born again and see ourselves as born again or born above or born anew, we kind of cringe when we hear the term. Now, in reality, it actually only appears here in John chapter 3, but yet it has always struck a chord with the Christian community. There's something very powerful about the language. We hear something true and meaningful and important here. But I want to take a minute today to make sure that we understand what Jesus is really on about and why John thought it was important to include this in his gospel. The story comes very early in the gospel. He's just begun to gather the disciples. The only miracle or sign, as John calls them, that's happened so far was the turning of water into wine back in John chapter 2. And what John is really doing is introducing a concept, perhaps even a division, a separation, that's going to become very important as he works through the rest of the gospel. In fact, it's kind of a prerequisite. And so this fellow Nicodemus comes to see Jesus. We're told he was a Pharisee. That is, that he functioned as a teacher and leader in one of the local synagogues somewhere. He was a leader in the Jewish community, so apparently he wasn't just a run-of-the-mill Pharisee. He had risen to a higher status than that. Perhaps he was even a member of the Sanhedrin, the ruling council of the Jewish community. Yet, we're told that he came at night, apparently wanting to hide his interest in Jesus, his curiosity about Jesus, from prying eyes. But he does say, "We know." So apparently it wasn't just Nicodemus. Apparently he had some friends and colleagues who were wondering the same thing. They were seeing what Jesus was doing, they were hearing his teaching, and they were beginning to think, you know what? God is doing something here. This isn't just another itinerant preacher. There's something different going on here. Somehow, the hand of God is coming to us through this man in a way that we've not seen with others. There's something different, and Nicodemus wanted to know more. And I suspect what actually happened is that he and some of his friends who were wondering the same thing got together, and they probably decided Nicodemus really ought to be the one to go and talk to Jesus. He was probably the most prominent of the bunch. And so they send him to speak to Jesus. And he acknowledges to Jesus, look, we see that there's something going on here beyond just the normal stuff. Something different about you. And we want to understand it. I want to understand it. I want to get it. Jesus kind of brushes past the pleasantries of the greeting and goes to the heart of the matter. And apparently, it seems to me, my reading of it is, that Jesus recognized in Nicodemus a desire to know more, a desire to understand how it is that God is at work. What does this mean? Nicodemus hasn't said it yet, but even wondering, is this the Messiah? Is this the one that God is sending to deliver us and to redeem us? And Jesus says, very truly I tell you, No one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. In other words, if you want to see how God is at work, what's required is not that you just learn some new information, but rather that you have a new beginning on the inside. To be born anew, born afresh, born from above. You need to have a new life birthed within you. It's not enough just to see the goings on of this world and of this life. It takes another set of eyes, a different way of looking, if we're going to see the kingdom of God. That is the place where God's will is done, where God's work is accomplished. But Nicodemus doesn't understand. And he says, what? Are we supposed to crawl back in my mother's womb and be born again? Nicodemus isn't stupid. He knows that's not what Jesus means. But he doesn't know how else to understand it. And so he's really just expressing to Jesus, I don't get it. You're going to have to give me some more if I'm going to understand this. And so Jesus goes on and offers himself some more. Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God, that is, go to that place where we see and know and experience and understand God at work. No one can enter the kingdom of God without being born from above, without being born of water and spirit. What is born of flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Now, the idea of the Spirit being at work and the Spirit being associated with wind is nothing new. In fact, that's in place in the Old Testament, and the Old Testament term for the Spirit of God is the Ruach Adonai, the wind of God, the wind of the Lord. That's the way the Old Testament speaks of the Spirit of God. And this is something that he thinks Nicodemus should understand, that there's something about the Spirit of God that must come to be at work in us. One of the things that was true in the Old Testament time, is the Spirit of God was seen to be given to those who were called to special tasks, prophets, kings, and so forth. And one of the major transitions that happens theologically is with the coming of Jesus and the promise of the Holy Spirit that is given to all people. John is beginning to introduce that idea to us. That this new birth, this new life that must come to be within us is necessary if we are going to see and understand how God is at work in our own lives, in our communities, and in the world at large. And Nicodemus is having a hard time getting his head around this. The point of it is that we need this spirit life within us. We each need that. It comes from God. We don't get it from the flesh. The eyes of the flesh are not enough to see it, just like the eyes of the flesh are not enough to see the wind and where it goes and where it comes from. It takes a new set of eyes, a new life within us to begin to understand it. We can't understand it from the flesh. Now, it may begin with the earthly eyes, as it did with Nicodemus. I actually think that Jesus is speaking with Nicodemus fairly sympathetically. I know you have seen a hint here. You want more, I want you to see more. But if you're going to get more, you have to welcome the life of the Spirit within you. You need to welcome this new life within you. And then he makes what may seem a rather odd reference. He refers to Moses in the wilderness. And he says this, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now you may not recall what that reference is to, but when the people of Israel were moving from Egypt back to the Promised Land, one of the many problems that beset them is at one point in time, they began to have a problem with poisonous snakes who were invading the camp and biting people, and people were dying from the bites of these snakes. And so they came crying to Moses, what are you going to do about this? And Moses, with the instruction from God, makes a bronze serpent, mounts it on a stick, and holds it up for people to look at and to see, and they would be healed and would survive the snake bites. That symbol actually remains, has been used as a symbol of medicine for many years, the symbol of a snake held up on a pole. And John is beginning to give us that hint, give us that glimpse of what it's going to mean for Jesus to be held up on the cross and for those who gaze upon him to find healing, not just from a snake bite, but from the totality of sin and condemnation, and that we might know not just life here and now to again get sick and die at some later point, but eternal life. And he's beginning to introduce that concept to us at this point. It's a metaphor for Jesus' whole role as that which brings healing and life to us. And we see it by receiving that gift of the Spirit, by receiving that new life within us. And the famous verse, I actually think, is a verse of compassion to Nicodemus. When Jesus says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. I know you're trying, Nicodemus, and you may not get it. You may not understand it all the way. But if your desire is to believe, to trust, to know, if you want to come to see, even if you don't get it all, God brings you life in Jesus lifted up on the cross. And I think that same promise is true for us. We may not all get it all. We may not all understand everything. I've studied this a lot for my lifetime. I'm sure there are some things I don't have right. I'm sure there are some things when I get to heaven, I don't know what those are going to be yet. If I did, I'd fix them, but I'm sure they're coming. And you know what? It's okay. Because he came for everyone. Whether we get it or not, how well we understand it. But if we want to know the fruits of seeing the kingdom, if we want to taste the kingdom life in this world, we need not the eyes of the flesh, but the eyes of the Spirit. We need to be born from above, born anew, born again. So the question for us is not, what are your political affiliations? Jettison that connection. That has nothing to do with what Jesus is talking about here. but rather ask yourself, do you seek that new life? Do you want the life of the Spirit to be born within you so that you are not just a life of flesh and the things of the flesh, but that you have the life of the Spirit, the life of God within you? Now, don't confuse that with some particular kind of religious experience that you may have heard people talk about. That just creates an idol of a religious experience. For some people, that comes at a dramatic moment. For others, it's a growing understanding throughout life. For me, it's been kind of a growing understanding throughout life with a few dramatic jumps along the way that have been very important in my spiritual growth. The truth is, as a pastor, I find most people have some combination of the slow growth and the occasional leap in our receptiveness to the Spirit of God at work within us. And so the question isn't how it happened, what exactly did it look like? The question is, did it happen? Have you extended that invitation? Do you seek that renewed life? Do you seek that life of the Spirit within you? And if you do, that's one of those prayers that I believe God always answers in the affirmative. Now, it may take us down a path we weren't expecting. It may bring us understandings and callings and tasks that we didn't anticipate. Things may change in ways we didn't plan in our lives. But He will pour out His Spirit more than you can know or understand. And that's really what we're being called to in this text. That we can know and enjoy and wonder as we have those eyes of the Spirit to live as children of the kingdom. Children of the kingdom of heaven. Please bow your heads with me in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank You that You came to be among us and to bring us Your Spirit. We thank You that You promised to give us the eyes with which to see Your kingdom, Your handiwork in our own lives and in the world about us. And we pray, Lord, that You would give us each that vision, give us each that new life, that we might see You,